Good day, and welcome to the acquisition of Cablevision conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Olivier Gernandt, Investor Relations Director of Altice. Please go ahead.
Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. With me today here are Dexter Goei and Dennis Okhuijsen, CEO and CFO of Altice. As always, the presentation slides are available in the results and presentation section on our website, and a replay of this call will be available. I'll refer you to the usual disclaimer on slide two of the presentation, and must mention that we are on a tight schedule attending a conference here in New York, so we will have to cut this at 7:45. But of course, you feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions via email. With that, I'll turn you over to Dexter.
Thank you, Olivier. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining. I'm here with Dennis, and we'll walk you through the slide deck and then open it up to Q&A as quickly as possible. If we just move to page three, we'll walk you through some of the key transaction overview and key terms on page four. Extremely excited about this transaction. It really shows our continued expansion and our thesis in coming into the U.S. That's playing out well from our standpoint. We've now positioned ourselves as the fourth largest cable operator in the U.S. and look forward to continuing on that path. The acquisition was agreed at $34.90 per share, which is equivalent to about 8.8 times their cable and B2B EBITDA, excluding the media assets, which on a synergy-adjusted basis is 6.1 times EBITDA. The capital structure will be independent from Suddenlink, completely separated from it but jointly managed. Cablevision will be an unrestricted subsidiary of Altice, and the transaction is expected to close in the first half of 2016. On page four, the enterprise value, $17.7 billion, that's $10 billion of equity value, and $7.7 billion of net debt. The Cablevision shareholders have approved the transaction, and the B-class shareholders have approved the transaction by written consent, which provides transaction certainty. There is no required shareholder vote at the Altice level for this transaction. It's a fully financed transaction, fully committed with underwritten debt and equity. From an acquisition rationale standpoint, we'll go through these points, and I'm sure you'll talk about them during our Q&A, but we believe that this is really an expansion into the most attractive and affluent part of the United States. It's a very high-quality, well-invested cable business, strong operational momentum post the Fios investment. These guys have stabilized their subscriber base and the penetration in the areas where Fios is overbuilt. There are significant synergy and efficiency opportunities. It continues to have create a good basis for continued consolidation in the U.S. It further diversifies our Altice portfolio, not only in terms of our geographic diversification, but has reweighted us about 70-30 back into fixed versus mobile revenues. And we have some very attractive financing terms that were provided to us. Page six, just to give you some background of the numbers, these are public numbers, $6.2 billion of last 12-month revenues on the telecom side, $358 million on the media side, to a total of $6.5 billion. The AOCF, just about $2 billion on the telecom side, with negative $147 on the media and other. And the big chunk of that number is really what they call unallocated corporate expenses, which is about $85 million today. So just the media business is about $60 million of losses. If you go to page seven, you'll see the extremely attractive footprint of Cablevision, which is primarily Long Island, Bronx, some parts of Brooklyn, northern New Jersey, and some parts of Connecticut, including Greenwich. Obviously, on the right-hand side, the statistics from a demographic standpoint are very attractive, very high medium income, strong market growth in terms of population, and extremely high operational density, which helps in terms of the efficiency outlook. Page 8, just in terms of their market position, number one in video, broadband, and telephony, with 3.1 million subscribers, unique subscribers. 65% of the subscribers take triple play, which equates to 2.5 PSUs per sub. Industry-leading churn rates of 1.8%. The management team has done an exceptional job of getting that under control, and continued growth in ARPU at $159 per subscriber in Q2 2015. In terms of the cable business itself, good momentum on the stabilization of the customer base, as you can see, from the end of 2014 to the second quarter of 2015, just 1,000 subscriber loss over the first 6 months. But in Q2, there was 5,000 increase in subscribers during that time. Continued growth in ARPU, which has led to about $5.9 billion of cable revenue on a last 12-month basis as of Q2. Page 10, I know there's a lot of discussion around the amount of Fios competition and their footprint. We believe that this management team has done an exceptional job of managing that competitive situation. And really with extremely high quality network, continued competitive premium service offering, high quality customer service, a building out of a unique and extensive 1.3 million Wi-Fi hotspot network, and they are do have the opportunity to move into a quadruple play offering here. And one of the key statistics we've been looking at is the penetration levels, obviously. Fios overbuild the Cablevision footprint, just over 50% of the footprint. The penetration levels of Fios in the Cablevision footprint is about 29%. And has been very stable in the recent quarters. So there has not been any increased competitive outlook from there, which has really led to stabilization of the subscriber base as well as the ability to grow the ARPU. In fact, the ARPU levels in the Fios levels, in the Fios areas where there's an overbuild, are higher at Cablevision than they are in the non-Fios areas because there's been a stronger competitive service offering, a better product in those areas, and the penetration levels obviously of broadband are higher with the two networks competing against each other than in the non-Fios areas, which is very consistent with what we see in Europe. That when you do have two strong competitors, you do have good stability in the market. You have increased investment into the market and increased penetration levels, which is good for everyone. Page 11, just in terms of the network, it's a single network, which is very important, over 5.1 million homes passed. 100% digital, there are no longer any more analog services. 100% available for video broadband and IP telephony. The most unique and robust 1.3 million Wi-Fi hotspot network, which is a significant competitive advantage. It's fully DOCSIS 3.0, extremely high density at 270 homes per node, and it's got a very attractive cloud PVR solution. Just switching over to the Lightpath business, which is a relatively small part of the business, aimed at really the small and medium enterprise market, about $360 million of revenue on a last 12-month basis. And $167 million of EBITDA, and a continued, we believe, attractive room to grow with, as they only have 8% market share. Page 13, we were very focused on keeping control and ownership of these assets, the media assets, which have been loss-making historically, but are extremely attractive in terms of being part of the fiber of the community, the local community. News 12 being a very hyper-local news channel that's extremely attractive for the local residents. Newsday, which has been a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper, and the free newspaper AM New York, and Cablevision Media Sales, which is their ad sales business. a very attractive business with about $350 million of revenue. News 12 and Newsday do about $200 million of ad sales, local ad sales revenue, which we find very impressive. Page 14, we'll talk over the next couple pages about some of the efficiency opportunities that we see. Obviously, at 28%, including the media businesses and excluding the media businesses, it's about 31-32% of telecom's EBITDA margin. Relative to U.S. peers, at 36%. Relative to Suddenlink, at 39%, there's significant opportunity to just ramp up and become as efficient as the existing peer group that's there today. And then, obviously, our perspective on the Suddenlink, as we've discussed with you, is to get those margins up to 48%, which is just under the European average of 50% plus. Why do we think we can get there? Just the high-level analysis here. As we discussed on the Suddenlink call, the margins differential is not only because of the higher content costs in the U.S., but we believe it has to do with a significantly higher OPEX cost per sub and CAPEX cost per sub that we've seen through our due diligence. And if you look at the $49 of cost of OPEX cost per month per sub, excluding programming costs and other direct costs, that is about three times higher than what we typically spend in Europe, and about $17 per sub higher than what Suddenlink does in a much more dispersed business over 16 states relative to extremely dense business in the tri-state area here in New York that Cablevision has. So we believe that there's a significant rationalization opportunity there on the cost side. Where does that come from? On page 16, we put some buckets just to give you an indicative element of our due diligence. We're in the initial stages, really, of getting to know the ins and outs of the business. So there's no real precision on these numbers, but it gives you at least a directional basis for you to think about. On the customer operations side, really about a further improvement of the customer experience. Just as an example, there are about 18 million calls that are treated every year through their customer care center, an extra 12 million through the IVR system. Of those 18 million calls, 81% of them have to do with billing. Simplifying and clarifying billing practices and offers should significantly reduce that. That is the bulk of that 15% of 900 million that we believe. Over time, we expect to get that contact rate down probably by half is where the analysis comes. And that really has to do also with the reduction of the operational complexity and upgrade of the legacy systems up there. On the network and operations side, which is a big chunk of the 900 million opportunities we're talking about, it's really about best practices, efficiencies related to the amount of truck rolls, the quality of the truck rolls. A lot of it has to do with the modernization of the network. It's got a very modern network. However, there continues to be a tremendous amount of active components to network on the amplifier side. We will significantly continue to invest heavily in dropping fiber even deeper into the network to eliminate the amplifiers. Amplifiers create heavy truck roll maintenance calls, breakdowns, and significantly high electricity costs to run the network. There's a big NPV trade to continue to invest deeper into the network, which will improve the quality of the service offerings that we provide, but also reduce significantly the network and operations costs of business. And that's not only on the improvement and investment in network, but also the simplification and improvement relating to the IT processes, as you've seen that we've done in many of our other properties around the world. Sales and marketing, this is really about trying to become a lot more efficient on using things as the web, There's effectively non-existent channel mix relating to the web in terms of contact as well as subscription there. And if we could just get to more normalized European levels of usage of web on the sales and marketing side, that will significantly help improve the cost base there. On the G&A, it's really, you know, duplication of functions, elimination of public company costs. Overall, just as a statistic, Cablevision has about $275 million of corporate overhead. About $200 million of that is allocated to different businesses, $80 million unallocated. That is versus a $60 million at Suddenlink we talked about when we acquired Suddenlink, and versus the $25 million to $30 million that we spend at the Altice level. So we believe there's a significant improvement we can have there in terms of G&A efficiency. And then on the other side, you know, as we combine the businesses from an operational standpoint with Suddenlink, there's a tremendous amount of duplication of the cost base there, which really has to do with some of the corporate overhead, but a big chunk relating to IT systems, billing systems, software, all non-personnel related issues, which is a big chunk of that 15%. On the CapEx, we think that we can improve, as we have in all of our other properties, on the procurement, which is really what drives that CapEx improvement. So on to page 17, you've seen this chart before. We think we're pretty good at implementing these efficiencies, that a super majority of the efficiencies have nothing to do with personnel-related issues, as you've seen in France. So, you know, these are expectations, and we've always exceeded the expectations that we've given in terms of guidance to the market. I'll hand this over to Dennis, who'll walk you through the last couple pages, and then we can open up the Q&A.
Thanks, Victor. I think, you know, we are issuing $8.6 billion of new debt. We're using $900 million of cash on the Cablevision balance sheet. And we have backstopped $3.3 billion of equity to fund the transaction. 70% is allocated to Altice. We're still syndicating 30% to co-investors. So it's about $2 billion of equity, which we are going to raise on an opportunistic basis. And I think, you know, we're not going to take 6 to 9 months to raise that. I think the leverage stats, including the debt we're raising, is 4.9 times. So I think if you move to page 19, I think we're really, you know, positioning ourselves as a strong number four, very close to the number three provider, 3.7 million video subscribers. I think page 20, which is really the key, I guess, that shows the diversification of the group. You know, we're now pro forma 51% in France, 30% in the U.S., and 11% in Portugal. 22 billion of revenue, 25 million homes passed, and I think, as Dexter said, you know, the vast majority of the revenue right now is coming from the fixed line, which is about 70% of the revenue base. And I think with that, we are opening it up for Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your keypad. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Emmanuel Carlier of ING Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Three questions. The first one is on the synergies. Could you maybe there provide a bit of a ramp-up? Yeah, so when do you believe you will achieve the 100% synergies on OPEX and CAPEX? Secondly, I think for Suddenlink you guided or you targeted to achieve 50% EBITDA margins. So for Cablevision it looks a little bit lower, and I'm just wondering why that is, because I would expect that you have no really synergies, while Suddenlink was more an efficiency gain story. And on top of that, the density of the network at Cablevision is much better, so I would expect margins to be a little bit higher there. And then thirdly is on the financing. So did I understand well that your partner in the U.S. has already decided to participate in this investment? And of the $2 billion, is it correct that you did not decide it, that the whole $2 billion would come from issuing Altice A shares? So it could also be done, for example, via paying a dividend at the level of Numericable SFR. Thank you.
Thanks, Manuel. Listen, on the synergy side, we're going to stay consistent to what we always say when we do acquisitions. These are our medium-term targets, you know, 3 to 5 years. As you know, in certain of our markets, we've tended to implement synergies a lot quicker. I don't think we're promising ever that we're going to do that. I think you just need to watch our quarterly results on that. In terms of the EBITDA margin targets, you're absolutely correct. On Suddenlink, we see efficiencies going up to the high 40% EBITDA margin. On Cablevision, we've targeted the low 40s in terms of margin. It's just us being conservative. We believe that our synergy targets remain always conservative when we give them to you. I believe that when we have given them to you, we've each time exceeded them significantly. So that's kind of how we'd like to express ourselves on the ability to execute this stuff. But you're absolutely right. This is a much more dense network, and there are a lot of efficiencies here that we can extract in a very quick manner. On the financing side, our shareholders' agreement with our partners provides them with the correct amount of time to react to their preemption rights to invest up to 30% of the equity. This transaction, as you may surmise, occurred very quickly under the cover of darkness, and so we only brought them in just recently into the fold, and they're in the process of doing their work on that. We obviously are big believers in this story, and we're very excited about this transaction. The initial indications are that they will clearly take up their pro rata share here. In terms of the mix, we've never said that we would do anything but A shares, so I'm not so sure the question there. The intention is for us to issue A shares to cover our equity commitment here.
Yeah, and I think it is key that we're not going to lever up the existing businesses. This is a standalone capital structure. So we're levering up the target, Cablevision, to, on a synergized basis, about 5 times. And then we're overlaying that with equity issuance, you know, which our 70% share is $2 billion, you know, that we're going to be raising in the near term, and certainly not going to wait till closing to effectuate that. So it's really a standalone structure that has no impact on the other businesses that we have, or where we have standalone capital structures as well.
Okay, and is there a chance that you would divest the media business in the U.S.?
No, that's not our intention at all. We find those businesses to be extremely attractive and a core part of the local community that we'll like to continue to invest in and hopefully learn from in our respects. You know, we think that we could probably run those businesses a little bit more efficiently over time, but I think it's really about continuing to invest in the quality content, both on the Newsday side as well as the Channel 12 side.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure.
We will now take our next question from Jakob Bluestone of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. I've got two questions, please. Firstly, just in terms of sort of helping us model our way to EBITDA, are you anticipating any sort of negative revenue effects from the implementation of the various efficiency measures you're implementing? And then secondly, if you could maybe just comment on your sort of appetite for acquisition outside the U.S. Post this transaction. As you mentioned, obviously this is a separate capital structure.
Jakob, you want us to go somewhere else already? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, always moving on to the next thing.
Exactly. Sorry, the first question was
the revenue effect.
Oh, listen, I think we, we've taken consensus estimates. We've sat down with the management team looking at the business plan. They continue to look at 1 to 1.5% revenue growth over the next, 3 to 5 years. On average, that's what we've kind of estimated internally, just to be conservative. We think that there's ability to be thoughtful about increasing that revenue growth. I don't think we anticipate any revenue degradation in any shape or form. Now, this business has been a very well managed business through the competitive environment of FiOS. We've seen that that attrition relative to FiOS completely stabilized at the 29 to 30% penetration of FiOS in the Cablevision areas. As an example, we understand that FiOS has penetrated Staten Island at about 50% relative to the Time Warner businesses that they compete against. So this management team has done a very, very good job of stabilizing competing against Verizon in its areas. And the efficiencies we're talking about is really about us reinvesting another layer of technology and processes and IT into the business that we don't think the business has done. As you know, we take a perspective that the European markets where we come from have been more dynamic, more competitive, and more technologically advanced in many respects in terms of the service offerings and the products being used. And you could just see that in terms of basic things, in terms of broadband penetration and average broadband speeds in the U.S. relative to Western Europe. And those are the things that we're going to be focusing on is really enhancing the customer experience by reinvesting a lot of capital back into the business, which will drive the various buckets that we talked about on the synergies in a very effective way.
And just to add to that, I think, we're very focused on the key customer care and customer service KPIs, the network KPIs, and clearly implementing the synergies here and the best practices, in our examples that we've seen, in France, Portugal, Israel, Dominican Republic, if we are implementing, the synergies and the best practices, it's clearly not at the expense of the KPIs. I think the KPIs continue to be better, despite the fact that we are optimizing and making things more efficient. So it's clearly not at the expense of the customer experience if we implement these programs.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Dimitri Kalianoukis of Redburn. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much for taking the question. My first question is regarding CapEx. CapEx has been relatively low at Cablevision, I believe around sort of 13-14%. Just wanted to get your view. Obviously, you will make some savings, but how much do you think you need to invest in the network? Should we expect CapEx to be sort of flat on an absolute level, or does it need to go up or down? My second question is regarding taxes. Cablevision has paid quite a lot of taxes. You obviously got a lot of NOLs at Starlink. I just wanted to get your view in, could you use that, and what sort of expectations should we have in terms of cash taxes at Cablevision? And my last question is regarding the refinancing of the existing debt at Cablevision. Just wanted to make sure, do you need to refinance that debt, or you will be able to keep that debt as it is at Cablevision? Thank you.
Dimitri, I'll take the first one on CapEx. We continue to say the same thing, and hopefully everyone will at some point understand where we're coming from on it. The percentage of CapEx is not the right statistic when you're trying to compare relative to other cable operators, particularly in Europe, who are dealing with ARPU levels that are three times lower, right? So when we're spending $1 billion of CapEx a year on 5 million homes passed, and if you just look at Numericable, which is an extremely advanced network at 10 million homes passed, and spending $300 million of CapEx a year, which includes about $100 million relating to upgrading the network, you know, the statistics are just completely out of whack. So the fact that people say that this is an underinvested network because you're at 13 to 14% of CapEx, I need you guys to explain to me what that means, right? Because we would be spending three times more CapEx for really not upgrading the business as we're doing at Numericable for a business that's half the size and much more dense. So, you know, the synergies that we talk about on the CapEx side is really more about procurement. A lot has to do with IT. As you've seen, we've spoken about this regularly in each one of the markets. Where we've entered, we've had some significant savings on the IT side because we're not afraid to start from scratch if that's where it needs to be. You know, many of the systems, particularly in the U.S. on these cable systems, is there's been a lot of add-on acquisitions of various different systems, and we've seen that in many of the systems there are some very, very old IT systems which came from 20, 30 years ago, an acquisition that was done in a very remote state relative to the headquarters. And nothing has been done to adjust that because people haven't focused on it and really have just invested on new applications on top of the old ones and really haven't touched the core of the system. So, you know, when we talk about $150 million of CapEx synergies, it's really about doing things more efficiently the way we've done them. We've spoken about that regularly, which we've been able to regularly spend less and do more with our CapEx dollars. But I'd love for you to talk to me about why you think it's been an underinvested cable network in terms of absolute amounts of dollars, because this is the same technology all around the world, right? Same suppliers, same processes.
And especially as it is an all digital network, which is slightly different than in Europe, where you still have analog services, which are clearly causing a lot of additional expense to the network. This is a network that is fully digital, that you can control from your network operation center, and you don't need the additional expense and capacity that is taken up by providing analog services. I think on your cash taxes question, on the standalone basis, Cablevision doesn't pay meaningful cash taxes in 16 and 17. So, you know, there's no near-term big tax bill. And then we certainly have the ability to combine with Suddenlink and further tax optimize from the years 18 onwards by using or maybe accelerating some of the losses we have. And then there's certainly some other structuring effects on the debt that we can implement to lower cash taxes on the go-forward basis. I think on the existing debt, you know, we are of the existing capital structure, Cablevision. There's $2.5 billion of debt that has a change of control. It's a $2 billion facility at Cablevision and a $500 million facility at Newsday that will get refinanced. So we're raising $8.6 billion of new debt, of which $2.5 is actually refinancing existing debt that had change of control. So we're using $6.1 of the new debt to pay the purchase price together with almost $1 billion of cash on hand at Cablevision and the $3.3 billion of equity
which we are raising in total.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now have our next question from Jean-Yves Guibert of BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've got three questions, if I may. Just on the fiber overlap, did not catch correctly maybe the percentage of overlap within Cablevision footprint. I heard 29%, but in the Southern Link presentation you did in May, you're indicating that the fiber overlap within CVC footprint was 70%. Can you just
just on that point? Just no, I mentioned clearly that it's just over 50% of the Cablevision footprint is overbuilt by Fios. So I believe it's 53%, and that the penetration of Fios in those markets where it's competing against Cablevision is 29%.
Okay. Then what was about the 70% in the Southern Link presentation back in May?
Well, I think it's the due diligence, right? I think when we're going into Southern Link, it's not like we had the ability to ask Cablevision any questions.
Thank you.
So we took public estimates coming from people and different analysts and stuff like that. So.
Got it. Thank you very much. On the back of the expected co-management of between Southern Link and Cablevision, is there any room for you to potentially revise upward the anticipated $100 million synergies for Southern Link?
I think it's very clear that there are significant synergies to be had between Southern Link and Cablevision. You know, we're in the process of being between signing and closing on Southern Link. We're about to enter the process on being between signing and closing on Cablevision. We haven't even started to put numbers next to all of the various efficiencies that we can have between the two systems. But they are very significant. We think that they easily are a couple hundred million, if not more, and a lot having to do with the technology and the management of it as opposed to even just corporate overhead.
Okay. And last, if I may, if your co-investors do not subscribe for 30% of the $3.3 billion, you indicated that it's backstopped by Altice, but should we understand that it's in turn this 30% will be in turn backstopped by the financial institution?
No, listen, we've got a fully underwritten commitment on the entire equity check coming from Altice, right? So to the extent, if for whatever reason our partners don't take up their full amounts or don't take up some of the amounts, you know, we're, as you may surmise, extremely excited about this transaction, and we'll probably elect to take more of the equity.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Frank Knowles of New Street Research. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. So just quickly, three questions. One on the media losses. You said were about $60 million. Should we expect that will be a sort of ongoing loss picture for those assets, which you're keeping, as you said, for good reasons in terms of local benefits? Secondly, just following up on a previous CapEx question, I mean, you did mention you were going to need to continue to invest in more fiber to replace amplifiers and probably initial CapEx on changing and upgrading the IT system. So can that be managed within the sort of existing consensus CapEx, or will there be a sort of year one or year two increase in CapEx to fund that, even allowing for the savings you've talked about? And then very lastly, Dennis, I wonder if you could just put a number on the tax losses that are being acquired. Thank you.
Frank, on the media losses, listen, these are businesses that a lot of the losses are being generated by an allocation of corporate overhead on that $275 million of corporate overhead that's being allocated to different businesses. So I think by definition you can expect us to try and manage those allocations a lot tighter going forward. We haven't gotten into in a lot of detail, both on the Newsday side and the Channel 12 side, anything to do with the operational costs of the business, where we have a huge amount of respect for what the Dolan family has done with those businesses and really integrated them into the local fiber of the communities. So, you know, we do not want to touch anything to do with editorial content, but obviously we'll look to optimize on the losses, particularly with the heavy allocation coming from, because there's a lot of things like duplicative finance staff that are, you know, both at the corporate overhead, at the local news channel, and at the local newspaper. So those types of things, there needs to be kind of a harvesting of the best in class and trying to figure out that they probably need to be in one location as opposed to, you know, 6 or 7 different locations. Those types of things, and we'll continue to look at those more in depth going forward. In terms of the CapEx questions, clearly we have, we believe, a huge amount of room in the existing CapEx budget to continue to invest heavily into the network. One of the things that has never escaped us when we were looking at the Suddenlink business, and which continues to be the case here in the Cablevision business, is the amount of equipment that that U.S. consumers have in their homes relative to European. And we're not talking about the number of televisions. We're talking about the fact that you've got EMTA set-top box and Wi-Fi routers in multitudes and repeaters and et cetera all over the house. I mean, it is it's insane, the complexity of it, not just about the aesthetics of having all these boxes around, but the complexity of it relating to when something breaks down. Most of the time, you know, we've had this experience in all of our other markets, and this is why we go to simplifying the CPE solution in-house, is when something breaks down, you don't even know where it's breaking down, given you have so many different units in your home all over the place. You probably don't even know geographically where all of them are located. And so those are the types of things that we're going to spend a lot of time focusing on and enhancing, and that will really enhance the customer experience and the maintenance and customer service relating to that customer experience. Okay?
And I think maybe just to add to that, I think you should not underestimate, I guess, what our procurement price points are with respect to the key equipment that a cable company uses. So the set-top boxes, the CMTSs, all the other network equipment, given the scale of our group and given the negotiations that we have had with the key worldwide suppliers of these boxes and equipment, I think we have substantially lower price points than Cablevision has today, and that's clearly a scale benefit that is driving through on the CapEx line that should drive CapEx down, you know, but, you know, we're probably happy to invest some of those savings because we are long-term investors and we're happy to recycle those savings in the quality and the capacity of the network, as Dexter said. Then maybe on the taxes, I think the guidance we're giving is that there's no material cash taxes. The interest on the incremental debt is fully tax deductible, so you can probably back out how many NOLs there are for 16 and 17 in the business, but, you know, it's close to $500 million.
Thank you.
We will take our last question from Simon Whedon of Citibank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you very much. I think they're pretty quick. First one is whether there's any extensive unionization of labor at CVC. Second one is if you have any thoughts about listing the U.S. assets post-close of the two transactions. And third is just to confirm that you're not including the sale proceeds of the Portuguese assets towards the equity, and I wondered if you could give us an indication of what those sale proceeds were. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is going to be our last question because we really have a hard stop. On the union question, there are just under 200 employees in Brooklyn that are unionized in the cable business, and there are unions existing in the Newsday business. There's about 15,000 employees in the entire CVC universe. So it's a very, very small portion. In terms of listing the U.S. assets, listen, we're always going to be thoughtful about maintaining flexibility with our capital structure. So that clearly is something that we'll be looking at over time. It's not something that we like to do as we go through these integration processes, but thereafter we'll clearly be looking at that, particularly since we have two private equity partners who at some point want some liquidity. Maybe we'll give them liquidity into a U.S. listing. On the sale proceeds, we're not disclosing that. We're in the process of having a discussion with the EU Commission on that sale, but we can confirm that we won't be using those sale proceeds to underwrite this equity commitment that we've done in this transaction.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, and we look forward to continuing to discuss this issue. We're going to have a full day here of a lot of your colleagues asking us a lot of questions here in New York. Thank you again.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.